Such a blessing to be able to worship God for who God is, for what God, we thank him for what he's done. The greatest gift we could ever receive is the gift of eternal life in paradise. Not just eternal life, because everyone will have eternal life, but everyone won't spend eternal life in paradise. So the greatest gift that we could ever have is what God has already given us, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And we worship God for who he is. And that's who God is, the Savior, the true and living God, the loving God. That's why we commit to Christ. Please don't commit to the counterfeit. Commit to Christ, don't commit to the counterfeit. So God, we thank you for who you are. So we'll get into the announcements and then we'll jump right into the word. Just so thankful to God for your giving. You've been very generous, those of you that's been given towards the Teen Challenge International as well. Thank you as you sow into the lives of those who are on the run from abuse, or their life has been battered and shattered because of drugs and alcohol abuse, and they go to the Teen Challenge and they commit for a year, and they're taught the word and the ways of Jesus Christ, and lives are transformed. And here we are, in some small part, God allowed us to play in that, to touch lives, to affect lives. And you all know, you're smart enough to know that ministry, a lot of ministry takes place, it has to take place outside of the four walls of the church. It takes place outside of the building. The building is the building. The ministry takes place in places like Teen Challenge, in places like the Salvation Army, in places like the food giveaway, the food banks, the homeless shelters. Ministry takes place in the prisons. There are those of us, we've been involved in prison ministry for decades. Why? Because God said, go. And so thank you for your giving. It allows us to touch lives outside of the four walls of the church. If you're giving on your laptop, then go to southbayalc.com. Press the giving icon and proceed accordingly. If you're giving on your cell phones, go to southbayalc.com, press the three bars, then press giving and give accordingly. And if you're still writing checks like me and you're sending them in, make them payable to SBALC, which stands for South Bay Abundant Life Church. Please mail it to 3553 Atlantic Avenue, Suite B-279, Long Beach, California, 90807. That's 3553 Atlantic Avenue, Suite B-279, Long Beach, California, 90807. Then want to invite you all, we will be back at Bible study this week, virtually. The Zoom coordinates are on our website. So go to southbayalc.com. You'll see the Zoom coordinates and the password for our Bible study. Make a note, we will be in 1 Kings chapter 13. 1 Kings chapter 13, this Wednesday from 6:30 to 7:30. Life-changing, it will change your life. Bible study will transform your heart, your mind, your spirit. God is definitely speaking, and it's relevant so relevant for today. And so start off the new year, although the new year will be on Friday, but start off the new year with a new mindset. Let's be a Bible study on Wednesday from 6:30 to 7:30. Make a note of it. And then thank you for those of you that's been allowing us to pray for you, the privilege to pray for you. You've emailed us, you've prayer need, prayer requests, and praise report, life@southbayalc.com. That email address again, life@southbayalc.com. Make a note, our end of the year celebration is this Thursday night, December 31st from 5 to 7. Let me say it again. South Bay Abundant Life Church, friends and family, you all are invited to our end of the year celebration from 5 to 7. We're going to fellowship. We're going to have some fun. You'll have your own food. We normally, when we get together, we have food, fun, and fellowship. We'll just have the fun and the fellowship. We'll have the food in our own homes. But by all means, bring your favorite food and just enjoy the end of the year with us as we reflect on God's goodness. God's done some great things. Spiritual growth this year has gone to another level for a lot of us. So when people are complaining about 2021, I'm looking at it. I've grown so much spiritually this year. It's been an incredible year. Thank God for 2020 and thank God for spiritual growth in 2020. It's all in your perspective. So let's come together at the end of the year celebration. We'll thank God. We'll bless God. I'll have a brief message and we'll hear from people that will give their testimonies and just share how blessed 2020 has been for them spiritually. And then we will go ahead and pray and dismiss and then look forward to what God has for us in 2021. So please make a note. And if you don't have the Zoom address, go to life@southbayaoc.com, life@southbayaoc.com. Send us an email and we'll respond and get you the Zoom coordinates. Everyone's invited. Facebook family and friends, Zoom family and friends, you're all invited and please come. You don't have to stay for the entire time. It's from 5 to 7, but stop in and just rejoice with us for what God has done in 2020. Amen. All right, well, let's get into the word. Lord, we thank you, we love you, we bless you, we need you. Lord, speak to us through your word. Give us revelation, Lord, that leads to transformation. And then let us walk. Let us not just be hearers of the word, but doers. And what we call that application. Revelation, transformation, and application. That we're not just hearers of the word, but we are doers of the word. Speak to us through your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way. So we try our best to navigate through a dark, fallen, broken, dead, dying, decaying world. God, we need you so much. Thank you for your word. The blueprint teaches us how to live, how to give, how to forgive, how to love, how to think, how to act. That all brings glory to you in your eyes, Lord, not the world, not according to the world, but according to the true and living God who created us for his glory. Your word tells us each and every step of the way how to glorify you and how to be a blessing to others and how to serve others. Thank you for this word. Speak loud and clear. Holy Spirit, rule and reign in our hearts. Speak through your word this morning, Lord. God, we need to hear from you. We bless you now. We thank you now. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles to the book of Jonah, chapter 1. As we've been on the series, The Good Shepherd, and then the series within the series, we've talked about prayer. Make a note right off the top. The assignment never changes. Our assignment is to be obedient to the word of God. That never changes. Jonah wanted to do his own thing. God told him to get up and go, and he decided to go the other way. So make a note in 2021, as we finish 2020 and 2021, we can't pick and choose who we minister to. God's called us to minister to all nations, to tell them about Jesus Christ. And it's a reason for that, and we'll get deeper to that in the world, in the word. Make a note, the world's going to do what the world's going to do, but God's called us to get into the word. I'm talking to the body of Christ. I'm talking to Christians this morning. If you want to push the share button on Facebook, by all means do, so we can share this message to all. Because that's part of our mission, as we will see. But remember, I'm talking to Christians, and God's telling us we have to be very mature in 2021. The world's going to do what the world's going to do. Make a note, our relationship with God must supersede all our other affiliations and loyalties. Let me say it again. Our relationship to God has to supersede all of our other affiliations and loyalties. Nothing supersedes, nothing's above the word of God in Jesus Christ. Your color doesn't supersede Christ, right? Your skin cannot forgive your sin, so you can't get wrapped up into anything that would try and elevate itself over Jesus Christ. Our commitment is to Christ. that supersedes all other affiliations and loyalties. The Word of God supersedes all of other affiliations and loyalties. The love of God supersedes all other affiliations and loyalties. We can't be like Jonah. We gotta resist and rebuke the Jonah syndrome that says, I'm not gonna go talk to those folks. I don't care what God says or what anybody else says. I don't even like those people. 2021, what God is doing now, we have to take the word seriously and we have to go and minister to all. Time is running out. This is, I don't know if you've looked at the writing on the wall, but the writing on the wall is clear. We need to be obedient to the word of God like never before. Let's pick it up with Jonah, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord, make a note, the word of the Lord comes. God is still speaking. God is always speaking. The word of God is coming to us this morning. And it's telling us that we can't forget our assignment. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, get up, arise, stand up, go to Nineveh, underline Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for the wickedness is come up before God. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Let's stop right there. So here we are. We see that God is speaking. Verse 2, it says that he told him to stand up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come before the Lord. So make a note that God sees everything. So God sees the great things that we're doing, and God sees the wickedness. That's why we confess and forsake sin every day. It's an everyday thing, asking God to forgive me of my sins I commit knowingly and unknowingly. That's the sin of commission, the ones I do knowingly, and omission, the ones I don't even think about that I do, whether it's a crazy thought or whether it's just some little thing that I can try and brush under the rug, always confessing and forsaking because God sees all. Be encouraged. God sees the great things you're doing. You don't have to get the pat on the back and the slap on the back talking about that a boy, that a girl, you're doing a great. You don't need that because God sees it. Our goal has to be and understand that we have an audience of one with God, and it has to be real, a heart-to-heart connection. God sees everything. Thank you, Lord, that you see everything. I don't have to get on a pedestal and shout about all the great things I'm doing. If I'm doing it for man, yeah, but if I'm doing it for God, I just do it. And what we do in secret, we know that God rewards us openly. But just make a note, in verse 2, it says it came before God. God sees it. And then Jonah decided he was going to go the other way. So I have a few notes. And God commands us to go and share the gospel to all nations. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. It's an order. It's a prescription. It's a script. God gives us the script and says, go. We can't alter the script. Not as believers, not as mature Christians, we can't alter it because of someone, how they look or where they're from or how they speak. Our goal in 2021 is to be obedient to the word of God. That means ministering to everyone. Family, the world needs ambassadors for Christ, representatives of Christ like never before. I don't know of a time in history, especially recent history, that the world needs the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It needs hope. It needs inspiration through the Holy Spirit. It needs to hear that God is actually in charge, and everything that happened, God allows it to happen, but God is in control and God is in charge, and God has a purpose and a plan for each and every one of our lives. The world needs to hear that message. And here we are, ambassadors for Christ. God says, go, just like he told Jonah to go, he tells us to go. And so the assignment never changes. And we've already talked about in 1 Timothy chapter 2, we've already talked about it, that God tells us to pray for everyone and be grateful. And then he told us in Philippians, pray about everything and be grateful. He tells us in Luke, pray and don't lose hope. Then we go back to 1 Timothy chapter 2, and he says, pray everywhere and be grateful. Pray for everyone. Pray about everything. Never stop praying. Pray everywhere and be grateful. Family, make a note of that. I hope you was able to share some of that gratefulness with your family during this Christmas season, during the new year. I hope you're able to remember that you're praying for your family and your friends. You're not talking about them. You're not complaining about them. Come on, family, let's grow up. We're praying for everyone and being thankful. You know, there's some of us who've lost friends and family this year, and we wish we could be with them, but that's just not the case. In God's sovereignty, God called them home. And then so for those of us that still have family and friends, be grateful. Be thankful because things change daily. This thing, I don't know if you've taken note, but this thing is changing daily. The assignment doesn't change, even when times change, because remember, God's outside of time. That doesn't change. But for us that are here in time, things are changing daily. Be grateful, be thankful, be praying. Don't underestimate the power of prayer, and don't underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit that leads, guides, and strengthens us each and every day when we allow it to. The person of the Holy Spirit, when we allow the person of the Holy Spirit to live through us. We have to be thankful, follow the word of God, because the flip side of that is complaining and feeling entitled, being disobedient, being unthankful, ungrateful. Then we find ourselves in the belly of a fish like Jonah's going to find himself. And then we're trying to figure out why. Why am I in an unfamiliar, dark, lonely, confused, angry, disobedient place again? Because we continue to run from the word of God and the directive of God. So that's why we find ourselves in that place. And our ultimate assignment is to be obedient to the word of God. I say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Okay, let's make it even more plain for us, more relevant for us. We'll come back to Jonah. Let's go to Matthew chapter 28. What's our assignment? I hope you got your notepad out. Be ready to take notes. Go on and push that share button, Facebook family. What's our assignment today? The assignment doesn't change. I love God because the assignment doesn't change. Look at Matthew 28 and verse 9. And this is Mary Magdalena and the other Mary. They had gone to the tomb, and the angel told them that Jesus Christ has resurrected, and he told them to go tell the disciples that Jesus Christ is resurrected. We pick it up in verse 9 where they're on their way, and then they encounter Jesus. Make a note, this is Jesus resurrected. We talked a little bit about it last week, but make a note, there's the physical evidence, there's the spiritual evidence, and there's a circumstantial evidence that validates the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The disciples turned the world upside down after they spent 40 days with Jesus Christ after he was resurrected. 40 days after that. Make a note of that. Verse 9, we pick it up. They went to tell his disciples, and behold, Jesus met them saying, rejoice. So underline, what do we do now? What's the assignment? Rejoice. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. So make a note, our assignment is to rejoice and worship Christ. That never changes. And then make a note, it's his bodily form. So it's not a ghost, it's not a hoax, it's not some type of mystical figure. They held his feet. So our resurrected bodies will look similar. I don't know how they'll look, but they will be similar. They recognized Jesus, they held him by his feet and worshiped him after he was resurrected. Rejoice and worship God. Look what he tells them in verse 10. Then he said unto them, don't be afraid. Underline, as we go into the new year, I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're dealing with. But God says, don't be afraid. Rejoice. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing and where you're taking us. I'm going to worship you, Lord. I'm going to stay close to you. I'm going to have my private worship time. And I'm not going to be afraid of what's coming today or tomorrow because I'm walking with Jesus Christ. Oh, somebody make a note of that. This is what we're talking about as we're moving forward. This is how we practically live. This is how we practice Christianity every day. We all can be grateful and rejoice. We all can worship God, and we all can stop being afraid. The scriptures are very clear. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Ha! Power, love, and a sound mind. That's what the Holy Spirit gives us. That's why we can rejoice and worship Christ. I love what he says after that. Go and tell my brothers. Notice he said brothers. Brother means those that are within the body of Christ, those that are even outside the body of Christ. Your brother is your neighbor. Your brother is anyone that you would count as your brother, that's your sister. He didn't say, go and tell those cowards that betrayed and ran from me when I was being crucified. Notice what he didn't say. So right now we see Christ modeling unconditional love, grace, mercy, forgiveness. He didn't hold any grudges. Here you are, you're still holding grudges in 2020, getting ready to step into 2021 with the same grudge. Here is Christ's disciples who walked with him, who talked with him. When he wanted to have private time, he took James, Peter, and John. They all forsook him. Peter cussed the girl out and said, I don't know him. And he's telling, go tell my brothers, not the cowards that betrayed me, not the guys that left me, not the ones that punked out. He said, these are my brothers. Go tell my brothers. You got to let it go. You got to, whatever's holding you back, whatever forgiveness has a grip on you, you got to let. Jesus was crucified. God was crucified and was able to forgive. And you still can't? You're making yourself greater than God. Well, you don't know what they did. I know what they did to Christ. I know what they did to God who was innocent. And I know I wasn't innocent. When I got betrayed or done wrong, I wasn't innocent. Wasn't even right. And you probably weren't either. And you can't forgive? Are you serious? Talking to my mature Christians right now. As we go, you don't go into 2021 with hatred and bitterness and unforgiveness. Let it go. Trust God. Worship God. Rejoice in God. Stop being afraid. Trust God for once, 100% for once in your life. Verse 10, then he said unto them, don't be afraid. Don't. Go and tell my brothers that they should go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. They're going to Galilee because that's where Jesus had ordained them. So they knew exactly where to go in Galilee. Let's pick it up in verse 16. Matthew 28 and 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee. Why? Because the ladies told them to, that Christ wanted to meet them there. Into a mountain where Jesus had ordained them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Come on, make a note. Ha ha. Some of us, we're going to continue to worship God. Some are going to live in doubt and in fear. Just can't get around that. That's your choice. See, God's not going to force you to worship him. God's not going to force you to live for him. You can go through your whole life living in doubt and fear. What a sad commentary, because it doesn't have to be that way. But we see here that the disciples, they're looking at the resurrected Christ. And some are worshiping, and some are doubting. Here we have the full word of God. Tells us everything about God and God's salvation plan and God's love for us. And some of us worship God, and some of us doubt. Same choice they had, the same choice we had. Same choice we have today. Look at verse 18, I love it. I'm still trying to get to where he tells us to go. But you just can't read part of it. You got to keep it in context. Verse 28, Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, underline this, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Whoa, slow down, partner. Are you serious? Jesus is saying, make a note of that. Jesus is saying all power. Oh, I had to write this down for us. He said, let me read it again. But he's resurrected. He's earned the right to judge us. He's earned the right to speak and say this because he was in heaven. Notice how it covers heaven and in earth. Because he came from heaven. He's part of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He came from heaven. Then he came to earth. And he lived like we lived, facing temptations, frustrations, and distractions, overcame them, stayed innocent, did not sin, tempted to sin, did not sin, crucified, resurrected. He said, man, all power is given unto me on heaven. And since I came down here and conquered Satan on earth, all power is given to me on earth as well. So anything that happens today, all this that we're dealing with is because God allows it to happen. We live in a fallen world, and God, have you ever considered, because people always say, if God was so loving, why would he allow this to happen? Well, number one, because of sin, and we live in a fallen world. And number two, has it ever occurred to you that God is allowing things to happen in your life to get your attention? Has that ever occurred to you that God just might be trying to speak through circumstances to get your attention? That's why God allows it to happen. But make no mistake, all authority is given to Christ in heaven and in earth. It's covered. And that's why we stand before Christ and we are judged by Christ, because he has all authority, because he resurrected and he died for you and I. And you're going to have to answer to him for that. You'll live with your decision, you'll die with your decision, and you'll stand before Christ with your decision. And you're not going to point your finger in God's face and tell him this, that, the other. He resurrected. He has all power, and he's earned that. And that's why you have to be careful where people are telling you, well, I'm cool with God, but I don't do that Jesus thing. Jesus is the one who resurrected for you and I. He's the one that died. He's the one that has all power and authority. And that word power, right? I broke it down for us. It means he has all ability. He has all authority, all judging rights. So you're saying I'm cool with God, but I don't do Jesus. Jesus is the one who has all power. And that word power means judging rights. He's the one that's going to judge us. Why? Because he came and died for us. And he had to deal with everything on earth like we had to deal with. And you're not going to be able to tell him you don't know what it's like to be betrayed in this. He is, and he does. And he was. And he said, go tell my brethren, it's all forgiven. It's all part of God's plan. And that's what you need to realize. Everything that's happened in your life up to this point is all a part of God's plan to push you closer to God. But in your disobedience, you run from God and have the Jonah syndrome like Jonah. You don't want to do what God's telling you to do. Each and every situation and circumstance has been trying to get my attention, your attention, and push us to God, to live for God. And we have the choice, make no mistake, we have the choice to be obedient or not. We have the choice to worship or to doubt. That's our decision. God sets the table. We have the option to eat or not. God invites us in. We have the option to come or not. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So the word power, he says, all ability, authority, judging rights, strength, and control has been granted to me. Is that what your Bible says? All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He covers it all. And then he gives us our assignment. Then he says, go. He told Jonah, look at the difference. He told Jonah to go. And that meant to rise, get up, stand up. But this word go in the Greek, the Aramaic, it means to lead. It means to live. It means to take a journey. Make a note. Let me say that again. This word go, he says, go ye therefore, lead, live, take a journey, and tell all nations. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, underline all nations. That means all nationalities. See, Jonah had a problem with that. They told Jonah to go to Nineveh. Said, I'm not going. Jesus told us to go to all nations. That's everyone. Underline the word nations. We're coming back to that. That's all nationalities. Go. Talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion. Jesus said, go to everybody. Everybody's included. I don't care how diverse. It's all equitable, because whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And everybody's included. We have diversity and equity, inclusion training on our job. It's nothing new. Jesus already has established it. All are welcome. This is the ultimate. It's nothing new under the sun. Mankind is the one that discriminates. God doesn't. Jesus makes it plain. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son of the and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, underline commanded you and I. And then look at this beautiful part. Jesus said, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world, throughout eternity. Through the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in us, Jesus is always with us. This is for us believers. He said, go. And so look, make a note of this. So God, you told me to go, but what do I do when I go? This is what you tell him. You tell him, look, all power is given unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in heaven and in earth. That's why you should commit to Christ. What's the message? That's the message. Jesus Christ died for your sin. And when he resurrected, he has all power and authority. I know it's not your political party. It's not your money in the bank. It's not your job. It's not this. It's not that's, you know, that's minor stuff. That's counterfeit. You need to, this is a message. Commit to Christ. Don't commit to the counterfeit. Oh, that's counterfeit. All this illusion that we live in. There's no power in that. Your political party doesn't have any power. Jesus has all power. Okay, maybe they have a little bit of power. They don't have all authority and power and judging rights and control and strength. Jesus Christ has that. That's the message we take to the world. People are stressing out. They don't know what to do. Tell them, look, Jesus Christ, he's in control. Commit to Christ. Live an obedient life to the word of Christ and experience the abundant life that he promised. It is promise. It is a promise. It is a guarantee. Sure, we have ups and downs, but that's pushing us into the presence of God. It's not taking us away. You're still going to have ups and downs without Christ. So you might as well commit to Christ. Have the ups and downs and know that God is working them out to make you the best ambassador for Christ that you can be. And remember, it's not about perfection. Stop thinking about what you did and what you've done and where you come. It's not about that. It's about practice. We all can practice daily to be better Christians through God's word, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Make a note, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You're not on your own. Underline this, Jesus just told you he's with you until the end of the world, which means he's with us through all eternity now and when we transition because the power of the Holy Spirit is in us. So we just we're always with Christ. Through the ups and downs, Jesus is with you, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You can do it, but it's your choice. Hey, it's just like anything else. I don't know why we want to take shortcuts with God, right? You go to the gym, or when we used to go to the gym, or you go running, and you can't work out for 2 days and expect a change. Why is it with God we expect that things are supposed to change overnight? You got to practice daily. That's why we're practicing Christians. For those of you that work out at the gym and my Facebook family, I see some of y'all at the gym. You're doing your thing. You look very good, by the way. But it didn't happen overnight. And people say, I want to look like that. Well, you know what? You got to put the work in. And it's going to take time. And you got to eat right. And then you got to be consistent. You got to watch everything you do. So why, when it comes to the word of God, all of a sudden, I want to take a shortcut. I don't want to read. I don't want to pray. I don't want to commit to Christ. I want to go take a shortcut. Shortcuts never work. Matter of fact, shortcuts usually lead to a dead end. We can't take shortcuts with the word. We put the time in with everything else. Some of you are so skilled with your jobs and you're super sharp. That's a great thing. But it didn't happen overnight. I'm amazed at some of the people and some of the tech work and some of the illustration and graphics and just amazing. But it didn't happen overnight. You put the work in. Now it comes to Jesus Christ and we want to take the shortcut. It just doesn't work, family. Why does everything else get a break except for Jesus Christ? We talked about it before. You can go to a restaurant and have some bad food and you don't stop going to restaurants. You just go to another one. You go to a movie, see a movie, it was a dud. You don't stop watching movies. You go and look for another one. You have a bad experience in church. I'm never going to church again. Are you serious? Why doesn't the church catch a break like everything else? I tell you why, because it's spiritual warfare. And you got to understand that. The last thing the enemy wants you to do is start getting your life together with Christ and to go and tell others that Jesus Christ has all power and all authority and all judging rights and strength and control. That's the message. He said, go tell them. And they did. They spent 40 days with Christ after he resurrected, and they went and told everything. Turned the world upside down. And just like today, we get to stand in a church. Because of their obedience, we're standing in a church preaching the gospel. And because of your obedience, someone down the line is going to be standing in the church preaching or receiving the gospel. It's just the way it works. Christ sent us out and then empowered us with the Holy Spirit. And it's our option to go or not. Take a look. Let's get a little bit deeper. I love y'all. I love y'all. Let's get a little bit deeper. Let's go to Revelation 7 and 9. Let's take a look at that. God tells us to go, so we must go. And look, family, let me make it as plain as I can. We got to get rid of the Jonah syndrome. I just had a little fun with this, right? 7 and 9. Look at this. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number of all, underline it, nations. All nationalities there in heaven worship. Didn't Jesus say, go and tell all nations? And look what happens when we're obedient. All nations are represented in heaven. Because we went out and shared the good news of the gospel. Because the disciples went out and shared the good news of the gospel. All nations are represented in heaven. Ooh, that's a powerful thing. Make a note, there is no place for racism or discrimination in the body of Christ. Look what God says. All nations are represented in heaven. Right? He told Jonah to go to Nineveh. He might tell you and I to go to Nigeria or New York or Newark or Nevada or Nairobi, New Delhi, Newcastle, Norwalk, Newport, Nassau, New Orleans, or Nuevo Laredo. He might tell us to go to those places. Why? Because all nations are represented. It's no place for racism or discrimination in the body of Christ. I'm talking to my mature Christians. It's no place for it. All nations are represented. All nationalities. The word, this is the word of God. This is in heaven. Let me read 9 in its totality. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number. Somebody say amen. Of all nations. I'm just stuck on that. Because I don't see how anybody who calls himself a Christian could be a racist. They're lying to themselves. Is no place in your heart for Christ and hate. Let me say it again. Hate and Christ cannot exist in a heart. And you have people who have heard of a ministry where it's only open to certain types of people based on the color of their skin. How shallow is that? It couldn't be Christian, because this word right here blows that right out of the water. How can you not let certain people in because of how they look? That's in total contradiction to the word of God. Are you serious? It's not a Christian ministry. That's a cult. And you watch out for any type of religion or ministry that says it's only for one type of people. That's in total contradiction to the word of God. As we go out in 2021, we don't have the Jonah syndrome. We're going to minister to each and every one that God sends us to. Reminded of a story of a little boy. He tried to go to church. He was of a certain color. Doesn't matter what color he was, but they wouldn't let him in the church. And while he's outside, he's crying and he's praying, asking God, God, I just don't know why they won't let me in that church. And he was crying and crying. And then God finally spoke to him and said, don't worry about it, son. They won't let me in either. Any type of ministry that discriminates, God's not in that. And family, you and I have to be mature. This world is going to do what the world's going to do. And Satan, he's all about division, and God is about unity. You talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion. Look at this. Let's finish this. You tell me, is this diversity, equity, and inclusion? It's nothing new. God has always told us we don't discriminate. God has never been about racism. That's a man-made, satanic, man-made thing. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and all tribes and all people. Come on, listen to it now. And all tongues, all languages. Everybody's in heaven. Thank you, Lord. Except for those whose heart is filled with sin, any type of sin, unconfessed sin, those who haven't committed their life to Christ, and those who want to think that God plays favorites and prefers one type of person over the next. It's the furthest thing from the truth. Don't be deceived in 2021. That's not the true and living God. That's some satanic man-made foolishness. God's told us to go. God said, lead, live, take a journey, and tell the whole world, tell everybody about Jesus Christ, who has all authority and ability, judging rights, strength, and control in heaven and on earth. And we're going to have to answer to him. God's called us to go. We're commanded to go. It's not a recommendation. It's not a suggestion. It's a command that we go, and we have to be obedient. Now, family, you gotta understand the Lord is sending us out. This world is falling apart. Will the body of Christ please stand up and go, lead, live, take a journey, and tell somebody about Jesus Christ, who has all authority in heaven and earth. And that's the hope of the world, Christ our Lord. It's not just Christmas, that's every day. Thank you, Lord. And that's the whole irony of racism. The very people that you hate, it has a read this, so I'm going to read it. The very people that you hate, and they hate you because of a look, a language, or a location. Let me say it again. Look at the irony of it. The very people that you hate, and they hate you, and you hate them because of their look, their language, or their location, they're both going to die and be together in hell. Because in their heart, there's no Christ, and it's only hate for each other. They both are going to die and be in hell together. That's the irony of it. But wait, it gets better. And I guess just like on earth, they do on earth, they're going to blame each other for all the issues of mankind and how bad they, it's your fault, your people, your, if those people weren't here, then we'd be, that's what they're going to be, that's what they do in on earth, and they're going to be doing the same thing in hell. They're going to be blaming them. You're the reason I'm here. No, you're the reason I'm here. Take those same actions and attitude to hell with them. They're going to be in hell, pointing fingers, name calling, blaming each other for where they were and are in life and eternity. It's your fault that I'm here. It's always, see, that's the racist. That's those that discriminate. It's your fault that I'm here and that I'm doing this and why my life is the way it is. It's your fault. We're looking for somebody to blame. And it's going to transfer. Unfortunately, it's going to transfer to eternity. Blaming and name calling and pointing fingers. Hey, and I guess you got to do something for all eternity. Name call, point fingers, and blame each other. I guess you're doing that all eternity. While those of us in Christ, who's allowed our Lord and Savior to transform our life, we're with Christ in paradise. And everybody had that opportunity. God doesn't discriminate. We got deceived by Satan and started discriminating against each other. Jesus Christ is saying, you got to rise above that. Don't let anything prevent you from sharing the good news of the gospel with someone. And Jesus, he said it in Matthew 5, 43 through 45. Love your enemies. Bless those that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use and persecute you. Let me say it again. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use and persecute. It's no way out. It's either God's way or it's your way. And your way is going to lead to death and destruction. That's that broad road. God didn't give us a way out. We're commanded to love. Look, let me make it plainer, then we'll wrap it up. Just turn one book back. We're in Revelation. Go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. Family, I can't make it any plainer. We got to grow up. We got to understand what God says. What God is calling us to do. Look at let's start right here. 1 John 4 and 19. It says, we love God because he first loved us. Make no mistake. We love God because God first loved us. We weren't born loving. God modeled love for us while we were yet sinners. He demonstrated his love for us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. That's Romans 5 and 8. God modeled love for us so that we can follow God's model and love and forgive and truly live. We weren't born loving. We're following God's model. It's called unconditional love. God didn't put any conditions on it because nobody would qualify. We couldn't qualify within ourselves, so God says, I'm going to show you unconditional love. While you're yet sinning and acting a fool and living a crazy life, I'm going to die for you so that you can have a way back to God. That's how much I love for you. That's how much I love you, and that's God's love for you and I. So we love him because he first loved us. He modeled the love, and now we follow the model of love. And look what the model is. Look at verse 20. If a person says, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. The word is clear. You can't say you love God. What kind of people say that they love God and hate the people, hate their brothers and sisters? And that supersedes color and nationality. You can't say you love God and hate somebody. Hate and Christ cannot exist in the same heart. Grow up. Get into the word. Read the word. Get out of your flesh and get into the Holy Spirit of God. If a person say, I love God and hate his brother, he is liar. For he that loveth not his brother, who he sees every day, that's how we say it, how can he love God whom he has never seen? Let me say, the word is so clear. Oh my gosh, Lord, thank you for your word. How can you say you love God whom you've never seen and you hate your brother who you see every day? We love God by loving each other. The two most important commandments, love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. We love God by loving others. We serve God by serving others. Christ said, when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. That's all nationalities, all language, all people, all tribes, everybody. And that's the attitude the church has to go to in 2021, where we stop discriminating and start loving, because God has already modeled love for us. You can't say you love God who you've never seen and you hate your brother who you see every day. It doesn't work. It's the scriptures, and the scriptures don't lie. We do. The scriptures call us a liar. Verse 21. And this commandment, not a suggestion, not a request, this commandment is what we have from him. That he who loves God, love his brother also. Wow. That's why when God tells us to go, we go. Not out of fear, not grudgingly or necessity, not grievous as we're going to read, but we go out of love. Because I love God, I love my brother. I don't want anyone, nationality, I don't care age, religion, sexual preference. I don't want anyone to die and go to hell. Why? Because God loves them, so I love them. And I can't say I love God and I hate them. It doesn't work that way. Family, all I can do is be the messenger and give you the word. It's up to you to grow up, to be mature, and to live it. And then go back and study this word for yourself. Verse, let's go to 1 John. Let's stay in 1 John chapter 5 and 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. What's his commandments? That we love our brother. And his commandments, and commandments right here are prescriptions, his script. God's given us the script, that we keep God's script, that we take God's ingredients, we take God's prescription. And what's the prescription? That we love our brother. And look, and the prescription is not grievous, it's not a burden, it's not a heavy weight. It's not a chore for me to go and share the gospel with someone. Why? Because I love them, and God's commanded me to love and to go and to share, regardless of what they look like, what they act like, what they smell like, what they talk like. God says, go and share that Jesus Christ has all authority in heaven and earth. He died and resurrected for our sins. That was Jonah's issue. Don't make it your issue. Jonah said, I'm not going. We have to resist and rebuke the Jonah syndrome. Right now, in 2021 and beyond, God tells us to go. God says, lead the way. Don't wait for somebody else. Don't wait for the world. He says, go. You lead. As an ambassador for Christ, as a representative of Christ, you lead. You live. You take this journey. And you tell the world about the man, the God, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and resurrected. Family, make a note, the assignment doesn't change. Take it and go. Enough time wasted. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you, we love you, and we bless you. We don't have to sit around and wonder what God wants us to do. We should never have to ask God, what is our purpose? God, we know our purpose. Now, our method might be different. You might be a doctor, lawyer, teacher, business owner, student, and you're trying to figure out how do I go about and share. But your purpose is clear. Go and share that good news of Jesus Christ. He has all authority. Jesus Christ is with you. The assignment never changes. The purpose doesn't change. Our methods may change. Maybe we're feeding the homeless. Maybe we're feeding the hungry. Maybe we're ministering to a friend or family member. The methods may change, but the assignment and the purpose never will. So God, let us be doers of your word and not just hearers only. We know we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Give us the strength, Lord, to live this thing. To be practical, practicing Christians. We don't need to know a lot of scriptures to tell someone that Jesus Christ loves them and he has all authority and power and judging rights and strength and control. And the sooner we submit and commit to him, then the sooner we can start living the abundant life that God has promised us. God, help us to resist committing to the counterfeit. Stay committed to Christ. Matter of fact, Lord, we rededicate our commitment to you this morning. In the name of Jesus, Lord, thank you for the forgiveness of sins. Your word says, if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, Lord, we confess that and we rededicate that. We want to go and we want to grow and we want to be mature. It's not a request or a suggestion or a recommendation. It's a command that we go. And the commandment is to love like Christ, to go like Christ, and to love our brothers and our sisters just like God loves them. Thank you for the mandate. Thank you for the reminder this morning, Lord. We accept the challenge to go and to grow, to lead and to live, and to take a journey and share Christ with all that we encounter. Bless your people, Lord, to hear. Bless them to receive the revelation, the transformation, and the application. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God's telling us to go. You say, Pastor, well, I would like to go, but I'm just not sure if I'm saved. I'm not sure if God is with me. You don't even have to guess. The word says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The word also says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe, trust in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, then we shall be saved. It's nothing mystical or magical. It's just a choice. Just like we choose to do everything else, we choose to say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Take over my life and help me to be the person that you created me to be. Right now, Lord Jesus, I receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Thank you for dying on that cross for me. Thank you for resurrecting on that third day. Lord Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit so I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can have the power to live for you. Thank you, Lord, that I'm now saved, that I'm rescued, that I can live for Christ. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It's just as simple as asking Christ into your heart. This is the way we all had to do it. I remember receiving Christ in my heart when I was 17 at a summer camp up in some mountains. I thank God for that other counselor, teenager. We were all teenagers. He's walking around the summer camp. We're hiking and swimming. He's walking around with his Bible. God set it up and he preached the gospel one night. And I didn't make a big deal out of it. He even asked if we wanted to accept Christ, but we were all too cool for that. But when I laid down in my bed, I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart. Lord, if you're real, come into my heart. I really need you. My life is falling apart. 17 and I already knew my life was falling apart and I needed Christ. Christ came into my heart that night. My life has never been the same. It's what Jesus did for all of us who've accepted Christ. And he'll do the same for you. But you got to have the courage to understand, apart from Christ, I can't do anything. I can only commit to the counterfeit, live a shallow life. I can't go any deeper, judge people by skin color and how they look and how they talk and all that other shallow foolishness. But when you get in Christ, you realize that everyone has the potential to be a child of God, can be saved, can be rescued. And that's God's desire, and that should be our desire. If you prayed that prayer or you have any questions about rededication or salvation, send me an email, life@southbayalc.com, life@southbayalc.com. If you have any prayer needs, prayer requests, or praise reports, please email us. Give us the privilege to pray, to rejoice with you, life@southbayalc.com, life@southbayalc.com. Please make a note, we're finishing the 2020 and we're starting the new year off right at Bible study this week. I'm telling you, the coordinates are at www.southbayalc.com, www.southbayalc.com. The Bible study coordinates are there. You will be so blessed. You will be so blessed by Bible study this Wednesday night and every Wednesday night, 6:30 to 7:30. 1 Kings chapter 13. Let me say it again. 1 Kings chapter 13. Life changing. I promise you, it is life changing. Be there. I look forward to seeing you then. And then also our end of the year celebration. We celebrate Jesus Christ every day, but we'll celebrate corporately. That's Thursday night, the 31st from 5 to 7. If you haven't received the Zoom coordinates, please email me life@southbayalc.com. life@southbayalc.com for the Zoom coordinates. Look forward to seeing you there. It's going to be a blessed time of fellowship. And again, you don't have to stay the whole time, but just pop in and see what God is doing as we're celebrating together, as we step into 2021. We already have the assignment. We're going together to live it. And I want to encourage you, as we go into the new year, next week will be the new year, January 3rd, 2021. We will be taking communion. So have your bread, your crackers, your juice, your wine, whatever is your preference to take communion. It'll be a new year, a new day. But we already celebrate Christ every day. It's a new day. It's Christmas. It's Thanksgiving every day. So we'll keep doing what we've been doing. God is still calling us to pray and fast and have our first meal after service. So I'm going to ask you to do that. So and let's come in expecting God really to speak. And then we just got to keep walking and talking and being obedient to the word of God so we can experience the abundant life that God has for us. The only thing prevents us from living that abundant life in Christ, even with the ups and downs, you're still going to have those. But the only thing that prevents us from living the abundant life with Christ is disobedience and sin. So we're resisting, rebuking, practicing living for God each and every day so we can experience the abundant life that he's promised through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have the blessed life now and when we transition from here. Because Jesus Christ, he told us in his word, he's always with us. Always with us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. So communion next Sunday, praying and fasting next Sunday morning, have our first meal after service. I look forward to seeing you Wednesday night. Make the effort. Make a note now. Make the effort to be with us Wednesday night, 6:30 to 7:30. Lord, we thank you. We love you. We bless you for your message today. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit to teach and to guide us, to bring us into all truth, to bring to remembrance all the things that you said unto us. God, let it lay heavy on our heart that we have to love and forgive with no conditions, no strings attached. We have to love our brother. There's no way we can say that we love you and we hate the people that we see every day. God, forgive us. We confess that sin now. And we thank you, Lord, that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love your family. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Be blessed. And I look forward to seeing you Wednesday night. God bless you.